Hello, hello.
And welcome once again to another edition of Things We Said Today. This is a weekly Beatles podcast, which centers mainly on what's going on in the Beatle world news-wise. I'm Ken Michaels, one of the co-hosts of the show, best known for my syndicated radio program called Every Little Thing. And I'm being joined by my co-host, Mr. Beatles Examiner, and Mr. Examiner of many different columns, too many to mention.
I know.
Steve Marinucci.
Hi, everybody. Hello, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I'm actually very excited about this show because this is something that I've been doing on the radio for many years. When I started doing a Beatles show in 1982, at the end of every year, I would always do a show in which I mentioned my wish list for the following year. So I thought, hey, why not do it with Steve? And so what I thought we would do in this particular show is, and I'm sure many Beatle fans have done this before, if they had the chance to play God for a moment and they had some power and they could pick what would be released the following year. And we broke it down to the Beatles as a group and each of them individually, obviously John and George posthumous releases, but we were only given one thing. If we were granted a wish of what we'd like to see from each of the four Beatles solo-wise and also the Beatles as a group, what would it be? In some ways, this could be an easy topic, but then when you think about it, if you're greedy, like I have been, at the same time, I've often said, we've been blessed with so much from the Beatles. At this point, if nothing else came out, I wouldn't feel like I'm cheated in any way. But I still want more. Like most of you. And certainly where the Beatles as a group are concerned, I'm sure that for many of us, there's a laundry list a mile long of things that we'd like to see come out. But if we only had one thing that came out the following year, what would be the most important to you? So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go back and forth with each of the Beatles individually, unless, Steve, you want to start with the group. What would you like to do?
Let's do the individuals, because I think the Beatles thing is probably, you know, like holding it in suspense. I think that's the biggie.
Not for me, because if you've listened to the show before,
right?
I already know where you stand.
You already know where I stand. Yeah. Yes, you do.
Anyway, but let's start with Ringo. If you could pick one thing for 2013 you'd like to see released from him. And by the way, this doesn't have to be a CD or a DVD. This could also be a tour, you know, another all-star band tour, for example. Mm.
Well, actually, that's not my wish for Ringo. And actually, this is something that I've had on my mind for a long time. And I don't know if I've mentioned this here before, but instead of Ringo doing the usual album, although I know that's his plan for next year because he's already mentioned that he's working on an album, or doing another tour, which I wouldn't be surprised if he does that either, I would really like to see Ringo do something to show off his drumming skills, his percussion work. I mean, we all know he's a fantastic drummer. We all know that. But he never really likes to show it off very much. Mm. I mean, occasionally he did that one interview where he actually demonstrated his drumming. A couple of years ago, he did that little thing with about learning how to play the tabla, which I thought was very cool.
Right.
But he never really shows himself off for what a great drummer he is. And I would like to see him. I know Mickey Hart has done things like this.
Are you talking about some kind of a DVD?
Either way.
Not so much instructional?
No. I know Jerry Lee Lewis did, not to try and get way off the subject, Jerry Lee Lewis did a thing a couple of years ago where he was showing off his playing skills on the piano, which actually got a little more technical than it really needed to, and which was a little disappointing. I'm a huge Jerry Lee fan, and I was kind of disappointed. But I think Ringo would have a blast just doing something where he would get a couple of people, maybe some all-stars, but just doing something that was percussion-based. And I really wish he would do something like that. The All-Star Tours don't do that. Mm. And I would love to see him do something like that. show himself off.
He always shies away from that. But I'll tell you something. You just reminded me of something.
Mm-hmm.
Because in one of the All-Star Band tours, one of the ones with Sheila E., I think it was for Sheila's song, Love Bizarre, Ringo actually did a drum solo on that tour.
Yeah, I think I remember that now because I believe I saw that tour.
And there was a DVD that came out,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't put that song in.
Right.
So of all the songs, you know, you've always heard about Ringo doesn't like to do solos, and we all know about his solo on The End from Abbey Road.
Right.
But here he does a solo, and he doesn't release it.
Right. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. But yeah, that would be my wish. How about you?
Well, I would say either, you know, another new album, because to me, there's a part of me that still, after all these years, when there's a new release from any of the Beatles, and even in the case of posthumous releases from John and George, I'm still like a kid in a candy store. I still look forward to that. There's nothing more exciting than knowing that Paul has a new album coming out or Ringo has a new album coming out, and I look forward to it. But I would like to add that I'd like to see him go back one more time and make a country album. Because Buku's a Blues, a lot of people have applauded that album through the years, and it didn't sell that well when it first came out.
Nope.
But we all know Ringo's love for country music, and his voice certainly fits that field. And I always remember there was an interview I did with Ken Mansfield where he was talking about how one of the things he had to do for Ringo was to buy a lot of the country albums that were released in the United States and send it to him in England. And people here in the States were aware of Buku's a Blues. So I've often thought it would be a great idea, although he probably will never do this, if he could tour with an all-star country band and have it be a mixture of some veterans and maybe some of the newer people.
And he did kind of go in, not in that direction, but I mean, well, I should say, there were the sessions that he did with Chips Moman that he stopped.
Uh-huh.
Remember those?
Right.
That were done, those were done in Nashville. And, you know, so that, I mean, he did go back there. It's too bad that happened. But no, that's a great suggestion, and I think his music now has progressed to the point where those would sound a lot better now than they did back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I like that suggestion. You know, it's really a shame is that Buck Owens isn't around anymore, because Buck Owens would have likely participated in something like that.
Right.
And that would have been a lot of fun. Almost consequently to this discussion, I just today got a copy of the old DVD with the Beach Boys doing country, the Nashville Sounds DVD. I picked up a used copy off of Amazon that wasn't really expensive. That one goes up pretty high. And I know that at the time that album came out, there was a lot of Beach Boy fans, myself included, who did not like that. And I was sitting there listening to that DVD today, and it sounded fantastic.
Hmm.
And it made me, you know, I mean, you're mentioning this, you know, with what they could do with the sound now and everything, it would be a great album. It would be an excellent album.
Right. And there are people in the country field who really respect Ringo and, you know, would really enjoy working with him in any capacity.
Right. And he's got a voice that's kind of matched to country, really, if you think about it.
It fits really well.
Right.
And not only that, but not just the country album, but when he has done country-flavored songs on his pop albums. You know, one of my favorite songs of his is the song Crying,
mm-hmm.
from Ringo's Rotogravure. And also Sunshine Life for Me really worked very well, which
right.
was more of a, I don't know, hillbilly-type sound or style on one of his songs. But yeah, I'd like to see him return a little bit to country. He worked with Willie Nelson on the song Right One for Me.
Right.
And they sounded great together on there from the Ringo Rama album. So
and
I'd
that
like...
naturally still sounds fantastic.
I
mean, it really, more than just a, you know, give Ringo something to do role, it was really a great song for him to sing. And that doesn't even count the version he did with Buck Owens years later. I mean, the Beatles one is a great version, and it fit him perfectly.
I agree.
That's a superb suggestion. That's even better than the. If I had to choose, I think I'd take your suggestion over mine. I think that's a great suggestion.
For several years now, I've been saying I wish Ringo would tour with a country all-star band. But you know, if he does a country album, I'd be thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to, why don't you pick the next Beatle?
I'll say John.
Okay.
And my suggestion for John actually is more for Yoko, and that is to get the John Lennon Live in New York City DVD back in print and on Blu-ray.
Oh my God.
It's out of print at the moment. You can get it for not too bad a price on Amazon, because I looked it up today. But that is, given the fact that it's his last, or one of the last performances he did, and it's such a great full-on performance with him and Yoko and Elephant's Memory,
right,
that should get back in print. A secondary suggestion that I'm thinking of just because of this is to put out a more extensive compilation of the Mike Douglas shows. And that would be kind of fun. Those got released on bootleg, and I'm sure a lot of people have them. But it would be nice to have those, at least a compilation of that week-long thing. There were a lot of highlights, not only the Chuck Berry, the number with Chuck Berry, but there, his discussions, and he got into an argument with the studio audience members at one point. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I can't remember exactly what it was. But Rhino issued that full week on VHS years ago, but never put it on DVD. That's really, really a shame. That would be nice to have that on DVD too. So,
well, Steve, you're not going to believe this, but
uh-oh.
My suggestion, the first one that you said, was exactly what I came up with.
Okay.
The one-to-one concert, because first of all, the CD sounds like crap. It really does, of Live in New York City. It has a very tinny sound. And actually, if you listen to the two recordings from the John Lennon anthology from the evening show of Come Together and It's So Hard, they sound so much better
than
what was on John Lennon Live in New York City. And also, you watch the video now and it looks horrible. They could really clean that up.
Right.
Where John and both George are concerned, because they died way too young, you have to treasure every live performance that they made.
Exactly.
So each one is so precious, really. So you really have to preserve everything that's out there. Even the Sir Lou Grade, the tribute to that on TV, put that out.
Maybe as an extension, Yoko should put together a Lennon Live compilation, although I would much prefer to see the full one-to-one out for that reason.
Right.
But
I would actually love to see.
A compilation is way overdue, too.
Yeah, I would love to see. I don't even know if it exists, but all the other artists that performed at one-to-one. Stevie Wonder.
Yes, it does.
It does?
That stuff's all been bootlegged.
Okay. I've never seen that before. So that would be great to put it all in one collection.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see it from that perspective. And Roberta Flack and Sha-na-na.
There is John Sinclair there is footage from that bootleg.
Mm. Well, you can, you're talking about a live collection. You can take that. You can take the Sir Lou Grade
which has been out there.
Right. You can do that. Combine it all.
Mm-hmm.
Those few one-offs from John and put some kind of compilation together.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Yoko does that somewhere along the road,
somewhere
down the road, and I hope she does.
But definitely a new DVD and Blu-ray of the one-to-one concert, and also a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never known, and I don't know if you know the answer, but why was it the afternoon show that was released and not the evening show?
I don't know. And I know that I interviewed one of the members of Elephant's Memory last year, and I can't remember which one it was. And I asked them why it wasn't in print, Live in New York City wasn't in print, and they had no idea. They had no idea. And they, in fact, they wanted it too. So I'm sure they would love to have it back in print.
Right. Okay. How about George?
George, that's easy. Easy Takes Volume 2. Or Early Takes Volume 2.
Okay.
I loved Early Takes Volume 1 just because of what it was. But it was way too short, and I'm sure there's a ton more of that stuff. Actually, I'd like to see Volumes 2, 3, and 4. But yeah, I would love to see more of that stuff.
Well, we have heard that Giles Martin is working on a follow-up, so you know that's going to happen. We just don't know if that'll come out in 2013.
Right.
Well, I will agree with you about that because I love those demos. Mm-hmm. I have become a major fan of demos, and for some reason, George just sounds so natural with just an acoustic guitar.
Well, there's so many. I mean, they could even do a bootleg collection and release some of the stuff that, I mean, there was some wonderful stuff that got released on bootleg. There were all the alternate takes from All Things Must Pass
that
came out, which were really, really nice. There was the demos that were called, that everybody seems to know as Beware of Abco.
Mm-hmm.
They were absolutely stunning.
I know. There's some unreleased songs of George in there. That were pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff that could come out. There's even the I'm trying to remember if the Somewhere in England
the original version,
the tracks that didn't come out on the album that were on the first version of the album.
Right, Flying Hour and
Flying Hour, yeah, which those are tremendous. And I don't know that they got. I think they were limited.
Right. They came out through those books.
The Genesis books, yeah.
Those songs by George Harrison.
Those should have come out, have been given more wide distribution, and they could do that. I mean, if Danny put together a bootleg compilation or something like that.
So you don't even know, you're saying Danny. I don't even know if Danny wants to get involved because the fact that Giles Martin has kind of taken over with the demos. I don't know. You know, Danny's very proud of his father, but he's also concentrating on his own music, so.
Right, but I think that he's indicated before in interviews that he is very much aware of what's been doing, and if not him, Olivia. So between him and Olivia, they're, you know, one of them knows what's going on.
Mm.
So, and I would think that, you know, one of them would have approval for whatever gets put out, I'm sure. So I think that's probably very likely that, you know, that they would know if, you know, for one of those things. And I would hope that they are looking going beyond skimming George's output as far as, you know, what they're looking at. And I hope Early Takes Volume 2 goes pretty deep.
Well, you know, we don't know exactly how much unreleased material there is of George, but I do remember George gave an interview to Billboard magazine, to Timothy White, back when the Yellow Submarine song track came out, and he said that there's more unreleased material from him than Del Reeves. He said that in the interview, and he was planning some kind of a box set called Portrait of a Leg End of unreleased material. So, you know, does that mean it's all demos, you know, or alternate takes of his songs, or are there a lot of unreleased songs of his that we haven't
heard?
Well,
given the fact that the All Things Must Pass demos did sneak out, however they managed to sneak out, it looks like there's quite a bit. So we'll see what they decide to do.
Okay. And also some of that stuff came out on the All Things Must Pass remaster, too.
True.
So, kind of started with that as far as an official release.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, I would like to see the Dark Horse album and Extra Texture remastered, finally. Because they're the only two albums of George's solo career that remain unremastered, if that's a word.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know what's taken so long with, I mean, that's kind of been forgotten. And that's too bad. It's really a shame.
And, you know, you go back to the remastering of George's solo career. You had All Things Must Pass, which came out in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
You had the all the Dark Horse albums from 33 and a Third through Cloud Nine and Live in Japan. That was 2004. The box set came out for that. Living in the Material World was 2006. So it's already 6 years, and those two albums have been out of print.
Right.
And I don't understand why. And I've always thought that, certainly in the case of Dark Horse, if they're thinking about putting out some kind of DVD of the tour, maybe that's why they're holding up Dark Horse. But I don't understand why Extra Texture. I don't know why Extra Texture is being held back.
Right.
So
I don't know either. It's a mystery.
But to go along with that, whether it's part of the package or not, I definitely want to see a DVD of the 74 tour in the best print that's out there.
Because, I mean, we've seen those songs that were distributed with the Dark Horse package, and obviously there is a full tape, and why that hasn't been put out, God only knows.
Hmm. And just like what we said with John, you know, these are precious, these live performances. There were so few of them. George only did the one North American tour, that's it, live in Japan and a few scattered shows here and there.
And what was interesting about the Japan tour is that got extensively bootlegged. There are audience recordings from every show.
Hmm.
And they could, conceivably, take those audience recordings and fix them up and put some or all of them out. I don't think they'd put all of them out, but at least they could put some of them out, assuming... Because, he did change the set list a couple of times.
He did Fish on the Sand.
Right.
Early on, and I think...
Which sounded wonderful, because I've heard the audience recording from that. It's great. I don't understand why he didn't keep going with that.
Right. Love Comes to Everyone, I think he did in one show.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Right.
So, any of these things I'd be happy with, but for a long time I've been craving the 74 tour on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, Dark Horse and Extra Texture. Those should not be forgotten.
Okay.
So now we move on to Paul.
That's pretty easy, because he's working on a new album, and I'm looking, it from the sound of it, he looks like he's going in a not so usual direction. He's not going to be Paul McCartney ballad singer or Paul McCartney, Yesterday 2013. It's gonna be something edgy, perhaps like Cut Me Some Slack, or at least he's looking at trying to modernize the sound. And if that's the case, it should be really interesting. I'm thinking that that's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, I would agree with you. I would say, my pick would be a new album from Paul. And a lot of people may not realize this because Paul has been so prolific in his solo career, but it's taken him a long time in between new studio albums. And, the last one, really, you have to count the Fireman, Electric Arguments, and that was in 2008.
Right.
So we are talking about...
It's been that long. I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah. So if he puts out a new album next year, it's his first new album in 5 years. The thing about Paul is, it's kind of funny, I keep thinking about his song Ever Present Past, because the thing about Paul is that as he's releasing his new albums, in between, he's got so many other things that he puts out. He puts out his remastered catalog.
Right.
He'll put out a classical album. He might do the Fireman. He might do a live album. He might have a 50s album like the Russian album or Run Devil Run. So it always feels like he's putting out so much stuff. But in terms of new music, all new material, studio album, they've been few and far between. He hasn't been nearly as prolific as he was in previous decades. And, that could just be a matter of age. I don't know.
Yeah, he's been working so much, though. It's not like...
No, he's never been lazy. Don't get me wrong. The thing, and, we've heard about there's a classical guitar piece that he's composed, and that'll come out at some point. He's always working on different projects, but as far as what has come out of new material, the waiting has been longer.
I hope he doesn't do another ballet. Thank you.
I happen to like the music from the ballet. You didn't care for that?
Did you really?
Yeah. very pretty stuff in there. I think it's great when he does a lot of just where he focuses mainly on melody. And he had to pattern the music to what was being done on stage in some cases for the ballet. And I think a lot of it worked. Some of it actually, I think it was the second movement, reminded me a lot of like what you might hear in West Side Story. But I really did like the ballet a lot.
I mean, I like some of the classical stuff. Actually, it took me a long time to get into Liverpool Oratorio, but I did. But some of the stuff just sounds really, I guess, I hate to use the word amateurish, but it really kind of does for me. And I'm, you know, more than willing to listen to Paul doing classical, but I just haven't liked some of it. And, oh well.
Okay, well, I've liked most of it. You know, I have to really listen again to Standing Stone, which I haven't listened to for quite a while. That was a very dissonant album musically.
Yeah.
It didn't have the kind of memorable melodies for me from Paul, outside of Celebration, which is really a beautiful piece. But I shouldn't really say that Paul hasn't been as prolific, because if you add all the classical music, you know, that is new music that he's writing.
Right.
So
I mean, he's been so busy between that and, you know, the outside projects, and he's been so busy, he's been promoting something almost every day. You can't say that he hasn't been doing anything. He's been incredibly busy.
No, you're missing my point. I'm only talking about new studio pop albums.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's involved with a lot of different projects, and he certainly has done all the performing, you know.
Right.
I would never, ever accuse him of being lazy. He's anything but that.
No, absolutely
but,
not.
As far as putting out new material of new pop albums, it's taken a while. It just doesn't seem like it, because
he's been doing so much stuff, you know, he's been doing so many other things. The fact that he hasn't done a new album, I mean, he's been busy with the tours. And maybe the tours are a diversion from having to, you know, to work on new material. But, I mean, he's been doing the tours. He's always doing something. And, you know, I mean, this thing with 12, 12, 12 now, I mean, you know, there's just been so many things. And I, you know, you're right. Paul is not lazy. He's absolutely not lazy.
He never sits still. He never sits still. He's always got something in the works, no matter what. But I'm only talking about the pop albums.
Okay.
That's all that I'm saying here, is that the waits have been longer. So.
Well, he also too has been involved in the reissues, and that kind of takes a little bit of that pop thing, because people get focused on, you know, on the older albums, and it kind of takes them away from, well, where's the new music? I mean, so that kind of fills in the spaces there a little bit, you think?
I agree to some point. I don't know how. He's very hands-on from what I've heard, but there's only so much work he can do, and he has a team of people that work on the remasters.
Yes.
So,
no,
yes.
You're right, and he is very hands-on, but having the discussion go on about the older albums, and the rumors are that Wings Over America is next, does take people's minds off new music. So that may or may not be somewhat intentional, but
that's why I always think of that song "Ever Present Past," because
right.
He always has his past thrown up in his face.
Right.
It's a very proud past to be part of. He not
right.
only has his own solo career, but there's always Beatle projects too.
Yep.
Which segues perfectly into our wish list for a Beatles group project. So if you could pick one, Steve, what would that be?
Well, that's pretty easy, and I think I've complained about this before. We really need a video compilation, period. And it even got a little, I thought of it again, watching Magical Mystery Tour Revisited and seeing the excerpt of Penny Lane in there, the stunning, incredible quality looking Penny Lane that we should have in full. And that was, and also Strawberry Fields Forever, both of them were in there. and they look so good, and why we're getting bits and pieces in various projects but not getting the whole thing. And that, I think, that would be as huge as one would be, mm-hmm. as one was, excuse me.
The only question I would ask you about this is, what do you do about all the songs for which there are more than one video?
I think they would probably cut it back to one version. I mean, you know, Beatle fans, and I know Beatle fans would probably not be happy with that.
No, they'll be complaining, believe me.
Well, of course. I mean, we're very picky people.
Mm.
And I don't know, maybe they would go ahead and put in the alternate versions. That would be nice.
Maybe it should be two DVDs, and the second DVDs are the extra bit. Yeah, why not? What's wrong with that?
True. Or maybe three DVDs like Paul did with his. But I would love to see that. I would absolutely love to see that. I mean, John's done one, Ringo's done one, George.
Well, not really.
Well,
it's not complete, and neither is George's. The random videos that came out from George and Ringo. They're not complete collections by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But
I would love to see a Beatles collection.
How would you handle Free as a Bird and Real Love? Should they be in there?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because they are, and we can get into the whole discussion of whether they are part of the Beatles core collection or whatever, but I think they are. I know that the night I saw Free as a Bird, it went straight to me. I mean, that was a very emotional moment for me, and I'm sure it was emotional for everybody. And it was closure, and, you know, it was the whole thing. And, yes, Free as a Bird and Real Love deserve to be there.
Hmm.
It would be even nicer if the much-rumored Now and Then was actually put in there, too, if they compiled a video for that, but I don't think they would. But
well, then they'd have to finish the song.
Right. Well, assuming it's not finished.
Hmm. And how would you handle, how about videos that were made after the Beatles broke up? Like, for example, the 20th anniversary for Love Me Do, they made a video for that. Should that be included?
No. I mean, you have to make decisions, creative decisions, and I think something like a 20th anniversary Love Me Do would not be necessary. If there were original versions of all these, I mean, they're going to have to make creative decisions, and I think a few things are going to get left anyway.
Mm.
So, you know, there's just no way you can put every time a song was performed, call it a video. I mean, look at all the live versions of She Loves You, for example, and
mm-hmm.
things. You have to cut it off, and I think they would probably do that. And then I think, you know, the bootleggers would probably take up and go, here's the alternate versions and
right.
all that stuff. But I think, you know, we really need that video collection. I think it would be fantastic.
Okay. No argument there. When it comes to Beatle projects of things that should come out, there's so many of them, and it's all apples and oranges with me. I mean, I'd be happy with any of them if they mm-hmm. came out. But I still have to say, first and foremost, that the top of the list has to be Let It Be. Because it's been out of print for so long. It's a big part of their history. And, you know, I always remember seeing the Beatles anthology and seeing the footage then in 1995 of what it looked like. And it was a better print than anything I'd ever seen before.
Right.
Imagine what it could look like now. And they've talked a lot about it. Ringo has said it's going to come out. Michael Lindsay Hogg has said it's going to come out. They just haven't said when. And when you add to that all the additional footage that they should add to that as bonus material, it could be a very interesting package. And in addition to that, they really should, and I know I'm asking for too much, they should put out a CD of unreleased rehearsals of the best of the Let It Be, Get Back rehearsals.
Well, I think that for the general public, I think the video compilation would be a bigger sell, would be a bigger hit.
Probably right.
And I think Let It Be would bring up a lot of the, especially now, with the way the internet works and everything like that, there would be a lot of discussion about the Beatles fighting infighting during the Let It Be sessions and stuff, but I think the video compilation would be a better just all around. I mean, Let It Be, I'm not saying don't put Let It Be out. I would love Let It Be to come out. I would love the remastered Shea Stadium to come out.
Yeah, there's so many of them.
In fact, I really think that I would personally like to see that ahead of, I think I'd like to see that ahead of Let It Be because it would be so good.
Boy, you keep dumping on Let It Be here.
Well, it's not that I don't like Let It Be, or I don't want Let It Be to come out. I think the Shea Stadium concert was such a great TV special when it was originally aired, and I think a lot of people would enjoy that. I mean, it was such a great moment in their history, and they've got the footage of the whole show. You know, let's put that whole thing out, too. I mean, there are so many things I would love to, if I was running the show, you know, I'd be putting out the video compilation, Let It Be, Shea Stadium, Hollywood
right.
Bowl.
We've all mentioned.
From the Hollywood Bowl, there's news footage, there's a shot that was taken of that whole show that night that has been synced in bootlegs to that would be wonderful to put out. There's so many things. There's so many things.
Yeah, I mean, if Apple put out one thing every single year, towards the end of each year, for Christmas or something, they have enough material there for really strong releases to go on for 5 to 10 years easily. That's how I feel.
Well, they did. They actually did more than the usual this year.
Oh, I know that.
And I was really surprised, to be honest. I really did not expect. I didn't expect to see Magical Mystery Tour and Yellow Submarine in the same year.
Right.
But if Michael Lindsay Hogg is correct, we will see Let It Be next year, because he did say Magical Mystery Tour would come out in 2012. Excuse me.
But did he say Let It Be would come out in 2013?
Yes, he did. He said Let It Be would come out the following year.
Okay, so we'll hold him to that.
So we'll see what happens.
Okay. So that was great, our wish list. We actually shared some of the same ideas here.
Right.
It's really interesting how we both came up with the one-to-one concert, though.
Yes.
Of all the things from John. But anyway, that puts a wrap on our show this time. And if any of you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so by writing to us at our own email address. I'm so excited I even crack my voice when I say that. It's thingswesaidtodayradioshow@gmail.com. And you can also get in touch with us through Facebook. Steve has his own Facebook page. And I have my own, Ken Michaels. We have our own Facebook page of Things We Said Today. There's so many ways you can get in contact with us. You can check out my website, which is kenmichaelsradio.com. There's lots of interviews on the website with people connected to the Beatles. And there's trivia and prizes given away every single week. And you can also read the millions of articles that Steve writes every single week. And he does write that many.
Seems like it.
You know, he never sleeps. He's right there at the computer.
That's right. I am right at this very moment at the computer.
He's at the keypad all day long.
Just about.
His fingers are really tired, folks.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
If you'd like to read his many articles on the Beatles, and there's a Beatles Examiner, there's a Paul McCartney Examiner, George Harrison Examiner, Ringo Starr Examiner.
And do you know yesterday was my 17th year? It was the 17th anniversary of the day I put up the Abbey Road's Beatle page. That was the beginning of Abbey Road's Beatle page.
Wow. So that's December the 19th, since we're recording this on the 20th.
On the 20th, yep.
So we should say it was just 17.
It was just, yeah, and you know what I mean.
Well, congratulations, Steve, on that anniversary.
Thank you.
It's also the third month anniversary of Things We Said Today.
That's right. We're getting up there. This is getting to be a regular thing.
Yeah.
So, I hope you're enjoying it as much as we're enjoying doing it.
So thanks so much for listening. This is Ken Michaels being joined by Steve Marinucci, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.